May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, and our collective actions that follow bring joy to you, O Lord our God. Amen. Cancer can take all my physical abilities, but it cannot take my mind, it cannot take my heart, and it cannot take my soul. This is how Coach Jim Valvano opened or closed his 1993 speech during an ESPN awards ceremony. A tear-jerking statement about the reality of the life that he's living. See, he said that when he had a CT scan, his entire body lit up like a Christmas tree with tumors. And if you haven't seen him give this speech, I would highly encourage you to do so sometime this afternoon or this evening. If nothing else, to hear the words of a mere human being who has let nothing hold him back. And as I rewatched his speech this past week, I was reminded of the first time that I watched it with my father. And this speech is still as powerful for the same reasons that this morning's Psalms and the letter from Paul are when understood together. See, the psalmist says that those who sowed with tears are the ones who are going to have songs of joy. And those who go out weeping will come again with joy. And the psalmist knows that because the psalmist has seen this done before, right? See, the Lord has restored the fortunes of Israel already as they were brought out of bondage in Egypt and led into the promised land. They were filled with laughter and had shouts of joy. The psalmist recognizes this and is thankful to God for the work that God has done on behalf of Israel already. But everything is not well in Israel right now. And that's why they're lamenting to God. That is why they were going out sowing with tears. And everything is not well here right now. Right now, we join the Israelites in their lament. And we may be the ones very well sowing with our own tears as we lament the unnecessary loss of life surrounding all of us. As we lament the number of hungry people and lines for food that continue to grow. As we lament lethargic churches who allow for injustice to stand within their community, and we lament the communities in need that are left to fend for themselves, while those who have the power to make change take recesses on yachts and private planes, we lament the injustices present before, during, and after the pandemic. And friends, this morning, we have to say that it's okay to lament. We must experience this full range of humanly emotion that inherently comes with being one of God's creation. There is room to lament what is not within our control, and there is room to lament the sinful, prideful nature of the human condition that has brought us to this point. There is room to lament a world that is in need of a Savior, such as Jesus Christ. And we can look to Christ to affirm the necessity of our lament. John chapter 11, Jesus weeps as he approaches Lazarus's family who are mourning the loss of Lazarus. Even though he knows he has the power to bring Lazarus back from the dead, and he knows he was going to do just that, Jesus weeps. So Jesus weeps even when he knows he will set things straight and has the power to correct all imperfections. We too can weep for creation, for humanity and the state that it's in, while giving thanks for our Savior and for the coming of Emmanuel. Giving thanks for the one who will bring good news to the oppressed, bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to the captives and release prisoners, provide for all who mourn. We must give thanks for this God who is simply love. See, the reality is that grateful people do not ignore the reality of life. They simply choose to appreciate what is positive as well and try to find the opportunity to be thankful and love their neighbor in the midst of that. And this is where Paul assists us in fulfilling our understanding of joy. Paul reminds us to rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And Paul was right. Gratitude is so wonderfully powerful. And we must ensure that our daily life has a foundation of gratitude, because life is going to keep coming at you. It can be relentless some days. And giving thanks must become a habitual part of your life for you to recognize the value of that day, of that moment, in the midst of your weeping. And this gratitude allows us to shift our perspective towards all that we have. See, Coach Valvano didn't wake up one day and decide to be grateful for his life. He was already grateful for his mind, heart, and soul, and decided that he was going to let his reasons to lament prevent him from continuing to be grateful. Grateful for the countless blessings of this life. Grateful for the community here that supports us, and for those who are here every week so we can continue to worship from the comfortability of our own homes. Thankful for those who have continued to work tirelessly in wings of hospitals, at testing sites, on vaccines. Thankful for that love that God shows us every single day. And we give thanks for God's willingness to make himself vulnerable and fully revealed in Christ Jesus here with us, and to make his sacrifice for us so that we may have eternal life with him. And see, this is how we begin to take steps towards joy. See, the grand social misconception is you become grateful when you're happy. But Paul tells us that it is thankfulness that produces happiness. Did you catch the distinction there? Because you're not going to be happy until you're thankful for what you have. And you're not going to be able to rejoice in the blessings of the Lord if you don't give thanks for what you have already been blessed with. And I know some of us are a little bit more research-based, so this is for you. Okay. Research shows us that people who focus on gratitude by keeping a list of what they were grateful for felt better about their lives, were more positive for the week ahead, and were more likely to have made progress on personal goals as opposed to those who recorded neutral events or hassles. Grateful people report more positive emotions, more vitality, optimism, and greater life satisfaction, as well as lower levels of stress and depression. There are lower levels of stress and depression. Now, here's the thing. I'm not trying to prescribe gratitude as an antidepressant, nor will it reduce the cause of your stress. Because being grateful doesn't put a meal on the table of the hungry, nor will it pay for the life-sustaining insulin that insurance just won't cover anymore. However, if we believe God to be the one who is the giver of life and the one who has given us the abundant goodness of creation, then we must believe that Paul was right, that this evidence of thankfulness would be a reason why giving thanks in all circumstances would be the will of God for us in Christ Jesus. Because it connects us to and reminds us of the goodness of God's creation, reminds us of all the blessings that God has bestowed upon us. And maybe from there we can take a leap, right? Maybe from there we can go on to how we can bless our neighbors with what God has trusted us with. And we too, from there, can trust God with what we can't control. See, it is here, in this tension between the lament of the state of the world and the gratitude for the opportunity just to live life, that you have the ability to move forward. Lament the presence of darkness, mourning for the shadow of evil, and thankfulness for a God who will guide you through faithfully with his rod and staff. Here, you can begin to walk through the valley of the shadow of death with Christ guiding your every step. And this is the critical third part of the cultivation of joy. And once you have recognized the lament of the world and acknowledged the gratitude you have towards God for the blessings that you have, then you act. Then you walk with Christ. You share those blessings with those around you. You walk with Christ in spite of the lament, because you know that the world is in need of blessings and that God has trusted you with them. Just as God has trusted a young teenage Mary to bring the one, to bring Emmanuel to Israel, to be the Christ bearer, to be the one who would save all of creation. God trusts us with his blessings. And so, parents, if you want to raise joyful children, then perhaps raise them to be thankful and allow them to acknowledge the full range of their emotions. Help them to put language to it. Help them fully express themselves. And if you, too, want to live a joyful life, give thanks for what you have, lament the losses of this world, and keep your eyes set on the will of God so that you may love your neighbor with your mind, heart, and soul, and be the example for those watching. Good morning. My name is Zach, and welcome to the third Sunday of Advent. And if you're keeping up with your Advent calendar, we'll be lighting the third candle for joy this week. And as you do so, I hope you take some time to lament the losses of this world, and I hope you take some time in gratitude for the vast abundance of blessings that we have. And from there, I hope you go out in peace, to love and serve your neighbor with gladness and singleness of heart. And then we can truly sing with joy like so many have before us. O come, Emmanuel. Amen.